Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I was trying to think about what I should preach about today, since this is the first Sunday of Lent. Now, if you notice what I said, of Lent, not in Lent. Okay, do you see the difference between those two? Who was it at Wednesday night said that there were 46 days in Lent? Dottie, why are there 46 days in Lent? Yeah. You're right, but there's a reason for it. Okay, did they tell you why? Okay, there are 46 days in Lent because Sundays are not in Lent. They're of Lent. All right, think about that for a second. We have a lot of messages in the Bible. I'm going to talk about something else and I'm going to come back to that. About the word and the number 40. Now remember in the Bible, the people of the time were numerologists. Okay? They believed in the power of numbers. We in our modern world don't do that. However, if you want to understand the Bible, you have to understand what the numbers represent to the people who are hearing it. Because it's like an unspoken language. They all got it. We don't. With me? All right, so let's talk about that. The number 40 signifies new life, new growth, transformation, a change from one great task to another great task. Now, for example, right off the top of your heads, what does the number 40 bring to mind out of the Bible? Didn't know you're going to be tested today, did you? Is that again? 40 days in the desert. 40 days in the desert for who? When he fought Satan. And I find it interesting that the Holy Spirit immediately took Jesus away from the baptism. Can you imagine? This is my son with whom I'm well pleased. And he's gone. Okay. Now, if I was standing there watching that, I'd go, what just happened? Okay. We're going to talk about that too. What else? That's the first 40. That's all right. You can all go back to sleep. Ben. Or Bud. Sorry. 40 days of rain for Noah's Ark. What else? 40 years the Israelites wandered in the desert. Man, it's not that big. Why couldn't they figure out how to get out of there? What else? All right, let me share this with you. Okay. As Bud said, the reign of the great flood, the great deluge, lasted 40 days and nights. Moses fasted 40 days and nights to prepare himself to receive the law. Moses was atop Mount Sinai for 40 days and nights receiving the law. And if we've ever seen the movie, Ten Commandments, he comes down and his hair is turned gray in that 40 days. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years after fleeing the Egyptian. The manna from heaven rained down on them for 40 years. The prophet Elijah walked 40 days and nights to reach the mountain of God, which is Mount Horeb. Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights to prepare for his public ministry. Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after his glorious resurrection from the dead. Now, wait a second. He rose from the dead. We have all that time period. Then we have the ascension. Now, what happened 10 days after the ascension? Yeah, what is that? The coming of the Holy Spirit, which is the day of Pentecost. You know what Pentecost means? 50 days. Boy, it's so hard to understand this stuff, isn't it? Okay. From Christmas Day to the presentation of Jesus at the temple, which is February 2nd, 40 days. The human gestation period for new life, ladies, is how long? About 40 weeks. Okay, there are another 8, but I'm going to do one more. Even the seeking of a partial or plenary indulgence, in other words, asking a favor, biblically, is a period of 40 days, as the time allotted to make a good and holy confession. That is 20 days before, 20 days after, 40 days, it's in the middle. Okay? So, scripturally speaking, 40 means something, doesn't it? Now, when we look at that number, does it mean the same thing to us? Well, we don't know. All right. Now, before I get into it, biblically, Pastor Don and I talked about this. What does Lent mean to you? What are the three things you told me the other day?
Self-examination, repentance, and
growth and grace. Say it one more time.
Self-examination, looking at yourself. Repent, change your attitude, your lifestyle, and grow in grace.
Not bad things to do, is it? Okay. The Bible Dictionary says this. Repentance, newness, preparation. That's exactly what Pastor Don just said. Well, say you got an important task at work, okay? So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to do self-examination, all right? What do I want out of this? You're going to have to transform not only the workplace, but your place to communicate this. You got to fulfill the task. You've got to escape from the bondage or slavery of doing things the same way. What did Einstein say about that? The greatest form of insanity is doing things over and over the same way, expecting a different outcome. Interesting, isn't it? You know, it's one of those things, folks, if you want change, you've got to change. Change begins here. Okay, and how do you do that? You got to look at yourself. What do I want to be? Where do I want to go from here to there? And the Bible says that takes how many days? 40 days. You know, one of the things that I do when I try and teach kids how to play, it's especially if I get somebody who has learned bad habits. How long does it take to change a habit? 40 days. Okay? And that is scientifically proven. Well, how do you know that? Okay. You brush your teeth in the morning. Yeah, I still brush mine too, even though there's not much left up there. All right. What do you do when you get done? Well, you close up your toothpaste, right? You put it on the right or the left? Left. Put it on the right. Okay, oh, I'm going to change this habit. Instead of going here, I'm going to go over here. I can do this. About 7 days later, you're going to find you're on autopilot, and you pick it up with your left hand and put it down over here. Guess what? 40 days starts new from that time period. You think it's easy to change a habit? Not at all. But by the time you do it 40 days without a mistake, you've created the new habit. Okay. When I was studying psychology and I first bumped into that, I thought, whoa, I'm 3 hours short of a degree in psychology. I had 33 hours instead of 36. It's one of the things as a band director, as you can tell, I use all the time, or as a pastor. Well, finally, when we're talking about the church way of doing things, we want to get away from sin, right? And we need spiritual growth to do that. All right, so where do we get to grow? You got to have nourishment, right? Where do we get nourishment? Stop and think. Jesus, through where? The Bible. How many of you read your Bible every day? Okay. Try. Change that habit now 40 days, remember? Okay. When we try and change and things like that, the word will speak to us in different ways. Have you ever had the situation You got a favorite song. Okay, you get in the car, turn on the radio, your song's on, oh yeah. Okay, you're bebopping to it and everything's good. One day you get in your car, turn it on, radio comes on, that song comes up. But you don't want to hear it that day. You turn it off. But that's your favorite song, right? Has the song changed? Did you change? Okay, so change comes from within. You with me? All right, so you have to have somewhere to nourish that change. Does that make sense to you? One of the easiest ways is to read the Bible. If I want, I always have people asking me about reading the Bible. Pastor Don, if you were here Wednesday night, preached about this. By the way, Dean, we had 15 people here for... No, that's all right. We were taking bets. I said 10, he said 5. We did pretty good for Ash Wednesday. Because last year, I think we had, what, 8 or 9, something like that. But anyway, you've got to nourish that change. One of the best ways I know how to change is write down a pro and con list. Why am I trying to change? Well, because this, this, and this. And the first time you do that, your con list is going to be like this. Your pro list is going to be like this. Why? Because we always view what's wrong. We don't view what is right. Remember, I preached in here before that when you're trying to change, trying to learn, if you get 51%, is it good or bad? It's good, because your goal is to get 55 or 60 the next time. But, oh, I didn't get 100%. How many times are we perfect in life? Hey, listen, if you're doing things better and you're not, that's a pretty good time, isn't it? Okay, but it boils down that we need Jesus in our life. And what Lent does, it gives us the time to do self-examination. By the way, what does Lent mean? Is it a Latin word? No. Where's it from? Old English. You know what it means in Old English? Springtime. How many of you do spring cleaning? Did you ever grow up with that as a kid? Boy, I did. Wash the walls, spring cleaning. Because you wanted to have things fresh and new. Yeah, friend sitting back here, I bet you as a kid you had to do a lot of that work, didn't you? Okay. In the Roman Catholic Church, the Congregation for Divine Worship describes Lent as a time of preparation for Easter. Quote, it is a time to hear the word of God, to convert, to prepare for and remember baptism, to be reconciled with God and one's neighbor, and of more frequent recourse to the arms of Christian penance, which is prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Not bad, is it? Especially when I look at that. But it keeps on boiling down, what is Lent? The time we remember Jesus. Until he does what? He goes there. I want to point something out to you. I don't know how many of you caught this. Will you pull up the Old Testament lesson for me today? Okay, and we're going to be in that second paragraph. Starting in verse 9. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order. What does he mean? Well, he built up his pyre, okay? Bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. I bet you he was crying and his hand was shaking. I mean, let's face it, would you want to kill your own son? But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. Now listen to this very carefully. For now I know you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from who? Me. You fear God, and you didn't withhold him from me. Who's the angel of the Lord that's talking? Jesus. Usually in the Old Testament, when we see the reading that says, and an angel of the Lord came upon them. Now, all the other times, Gabriel, we have that angel name, don't we? But here we don't. He's just called the angel of the Lord. And he tells us right here, who is the angel of the Lord? God, through his Son, Jesus Christ. So, does Jesus just sit at the right hand of God all the time? Where is Jesus? Could be ding as Jesus here, and boy, all of a sudden those eyes got real big. You know, because you don't know where you might run in and meet him. When I look at this, this whole thing today was talking to me, what do we need? Well, we need Jesus. And this 40-day time period is a time for us to self-examine, prepare for change, and then change, right? Now, the original question is, why are there 46 days in Lent? That's because Sundays are not in Lent. They're of Lent, but not in it. Why? Why do we worship on Sunday and not on Saturday anymore? Because it's the day of the resurrection. So, when we have our worship on Sunday, we are actually doing an Easter service every Sunday. How many of you realize that? One. Happy Easter. He is risen. Hallelujah. May this message of self-examine change and making ourselves better for Jesus keep your hearts and mind on our Lord. Amen.